In the late spring of 1969, I landed at Tan Sanhut Air Force Base in Vietnam, and I remember getting off the plane and starting to walk across the tarmac, and the heat and humidity just about knocked me over. And this fellow who was walking nearby said, man, what great weather. And I asked him where he was from, and he said, Louisiana. I was from New Hampshire, and I didn't think it was particularly great weather. But that's the only time in my life I've ever lived in a place that didn't have cold winters. I've always assumed that living in a cold place showed a strong character, but it may indeed simply reflect a lack of intelligence. When I left the Army, I went back up into the White Mountains of New Hampshire for a couple of years before I returned to graduate school. And one winter, I worked for a contractor who built ski chalets and log cabins. It was a small company, only 5 employees. And he had a rule as far as the winter. You didn't have to work if it was 30 below or colder. However, you didn't get paid. And the 30 below temperature didn't take into consideration the wind chill. I think we needed a union. Anyway, this one time I was working up on a mountain where it was particularly chilly, and I was working with a fella, an older fella, and I had this big wool hat. Actually, I wore 2 wool hats over each other, and then he had it's almost like a baseball hat, but it was, I don't know quite how to describe it, plasticized. You don't see them anymore. They had like a plastic coating on the outside, and we had this warm-up hut where every 30, 40 minutes we'd go in for 5 minutes and try to knock the chill back a bit. This one really cold day, I think it was about 25 below, we went into the hut and this fella took off his hat and all the skin on his ears that was in contact with the flaps came off with it. And I remember driving him down to the emergency room, which is about 45 minutes away. As I went back out to repark my truck, he said, "Hey, I left my hat in the front seat. Bring it into me." And I was kind of incredulous. I said, "You want the hat?" And he goes, "Yeah, man, that's my lucky hat." I was telling some people a couple of years ago about living up in the White Mountains on the winter nights. Happened to mention that one time on a dare, or maybe it was a bet, I camped out overnight when it was 22 below zero. And a fellow in the group said, "Yeah, that's pretty cold. I remember when I camped out, it was 32 below zero." Now, this fellow was from Minnesota. So the moral to that story is never get into a cold temperature measuring contest with someone from Minnesota. When I got out of grad school, we moved to New York, and my wife and I taught at a State University of New York campus in northern New York, and it was another pretty cold place. We were in the agricultural school, and of course, all the guys there were testosterone-charged. They all had trucks, so I decided I needed a truck, too, and I picked out this really nice Dodge Dakota that I liked, but we didn't have much money because we were just starting out, so I couldn't afford to buy one with four-wheel drive, which, of course, was a major error on my part, because we lived on a street called High Street. At the top of High Street was our house, and our driveway went up to the garage at about a 45, 50-degree angle. The first serious storm we had, the driveway was an insurmountable obstacle for the truck, and I kept slipping back, and finally in frustration I stopped it, parked it, got out, grabbed a shovel, tried to break up the ice, and of course I struck the tire itself and instantaneously went flat. I was telling the story to my colleagues the next morning, and one of the guys there who burned a lot of wood said, "Hey, you know, don't let that tire go to waste. I cover all my wood with tarps, and I put tires on top of the tarp so they won't blow away. So I'll take that tire off your hands. I gave it to him. This guy was kind of a smart aleck. And for about the next month after that, every couple of days, he'd say, you know, I was sitting in our breakfast nook this morning having a cup of coffee and looking out of my wood. And I saw these old ratty tires. They were bald, no tread at all. And then all of a sudden, I saw this beautiful new tire had all its tread. It was this great black color. It just made me feel really good about myself. When we moved to Maine, and of course I knew Maine was going to be cold. You know, I remember the old joke about, you know, you're from Maine if you have to make your child's Halloween costume big enough to fit over a snowsuit. We moved to Maine. I made the same error again. I bought a Prius. Now, the Prius is a great car. I got 50 miles to the gallon. But the only problem was we have a driveway that's about two-thirds of a mile long. And at the end of the driveway, before it gets up on the S road, it takes a sudden left, then a sudden right, and then goes straight uphill. So the Prius, even with snow tires, if the wheels, that model, if the wheels started to spin, it would cut power to the axles. And so basically you just sit there. And I guess the rationale was that if the wheel spun too much, it would damage the battery. So it was the height of frustration. Sometimes I get 50 feet from the top of the driveway, sometimes 40 feet, one time even 10 feet from the paved S road. This one time I was stuck there, and this fella came by in a truck, and he saw my problem. He hopped out. He had some sand. We spread the sand. I still couldn't quite make it, so he got behind the steering wheel, and I pushed, and gradually, by rocking it and me pushing, we were able to get it up on the drier pavement. And one of our neighbors came along, who's also a smart aleck, and he said, "Oh, now I understand why those Priuses get such great gas mileage. You push them." The only good joke I know about snow is the old classic about the young fella who just started to drive. He just got out of high school. He had his first job, and his father said to him, "Son, you know, if you get out of work and it's snowing, you're a little nervous about driving, just get behind a plow truck and follow it." So the first time that happened, this young guy pulled out onto the main road from the business parking lot, and lo and behold, he saw a plow truck, and he goes, "Wow, man, am I in luck." So he gets about 50 feet behind the plow truck, and he follows it for about half an hour, and suddenly the plow truck stops. In front of him, the driver comes up and knocks on the young man's window and says, "Son, I don't know why you keep following me while I clean up the Walmart parking lot." Thanks very much. Bob Emmons for Skidumpa Radio.